Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Last night, the Dallas Cowboys getting a 28-17 victory in Arizona. From a football perspective, Dak Prescott continues to win. And Arizona should have been up 10-0 in that game and controlling the game, but they obviously missed that field goal, and then the Cowboys' offensive line started wearing down the Cardinals. Then also, more importantly, the Cardinals continued to put themselves in bad field goal position, or bad field position, and the Cowboys took advantage of that. The Cowboys kept starting drives with short fields at midfield or shorter or closer, and that obviously helped out a big deal. But when it comes to Dak Prescott, I know that there's a lot of questions around Dallas of whether he really runs an offense or if he's just kind of a game manager that is benefiting from the offensive line and running back. Hey, who cares? I think Dak Prescott is more than a game manager. I think Prescott does not get enough credit for making big plays. And last night I realized that one of the biggest plays he made was with his legs, scrambling outside and diving over the goal line head over heels. But I think he also makes good decisions. He's not a perfect quarterback. He's not Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, but he is a guy that complements what they do really well and doesn't beat you. Dak Prescott is 15-4 as a starting quarterback. How am I going to dog him out? I think Dak's a very good young quarterback. I think sometimes he doesn't get the respect that he deserves because he doesn't put up video game numbers in a video game football world. But you don't need to. I'd rather have Dak Prescott than at least 10 to 15 other quarterbacks in this league, and probably more like 15 to 20 quarterbacks in this league. So I don't care if he doesn't put up 350 yards and four touchdowns. I care about W's. I care about not turning the football over. And I care about, unlike a Josh McCown, a Brian Hoyer, who is just a placeholder, I care about a guy that's going to get better. Dak's going to get better. Dak is getting better. Dak is making smarter throws, relying on his arm a little bit more, understanding defense is a little bit better. Those old guys, those 30-some-odd-year-old guys that are just there to hold a place, I've got nothing to do with them. I mean, because they give me no value. They're on bad teams that won't go anywhere anyway, and they're not going to get any better. But for Dak, he will get better, and he's on a good team already. And the Cowboys wore down the Cardinals and took advantage of good field position. As for before the game, Jerry Jones locking arms and the entire Cowboys team kneeling and then standing for the national anthem in unison. I liked it. I liked it because it was a compromise. We are at a void of compromises at this point in our country. We do not compromise. We have taken our corners. I'm in my corner, you're in your corner. We don't see it the same way, and so we are enemies. And that has been inflamed by our political rhetoric from our elected officials and our cable news outlets that continue to brainwash us into believing we should hate one another because we have nothing in common. Yet, when Hurricane Harvey hits, or Hurricane Irma hits, or an earthquake hits, or any type of natural catastrophe hits, somehow all these people that are supposed to be enemies come together and work as one. So who's right, who's wrong? At the end of the day, we are not as different as the cable news and our elected officials make us believe. But they do so to divide us, to win their elections, and to win their ratings book. So the best way to defeat that type of division, the best way to avoid being simply exploited by elected officials and cable news, is by finding compromise. The Dallas Cowboys players that wanted to kneel in response to the president's commentary and what happened to the NFL had a chance to kneel. And the team, players, the organization, the owner that wanted them to stand in unison for the national anthem got what they hoped. Compromise is what built this country. The Constitution was nicknamed a bundle of compromises. You don't have to stand and sit and stew in your corner and look at the other side and say, there is no middle ground, I hate you. There has to be middle ground. You have to work with other people. Not everybody sees it your way. You have to be able to find common ground. We have to. So I appreciated that last night. I also thought that it was fairly hysterical that Jerry Jones has been so anti-anthem protest, which ultimately is not a protest against the national anthem nor the military, but it's been an easy buzzword to use to describe this. The protest during the anthem is a better way to describe it. It's hysterical that Jerry has been anti-protest during the anthem this entire time and then suddenly found a moment where he was on national TV kneeling before the anthem with some booze raining down. It's hysterical because I would never figure Jerry Jones is good at compromising. He seems like a guy that does it his way and doesn't compromise. Remember, he was not a guy that compromised on signage and personalizing the local advertising at Old Cowboy Stadium. He was the first that said, oh, no. Coke might be the sponsor of the NFL. I'm selling it to Pepsi because I own this stadium and it's my team. And the NFL started getting all crazy. Wait a second. What? You have to, no, we have an official beer sponsor, an official soda sponsor, an official car sponsor. You can't go rogue. And Jerry said, no. I go rogue because this is my business. So it's interesting to see that Jerry found a compromise. Why? Because don't tell Jerry how to run his business. I don't know if Jerry was offended that the president called his players SOBs. I don't know if Jerry's offended by anything the president says. What I know is that Jerry is offended when anybody, including the president, tells him how to run his business. Because Jerry, say what you want, is a hell of a businessman. And he's done it his way for long enough to be a billionaire and own the highest valued professional sports franchise in America, valued now at more than $4 billion. More than the Yankees, more than the Lakers, more than anybody else in America. The Dallas Cowboys are worth more than any other professional sports franchise. $4 billion plus. So don't tell Jerry how he should fire guys, what he should do with his employees, what he should do about his team. Oh, no. Then Jerry will find a way to shove it right where he wants to. I thought that was interesting. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. And as for the Cardinals, I think their window is closed. I don't even know if they ever had a window. That window being 2015, they go to the NFC Championship game, they lose in Carolina. Had Arizona made the Super Bowl, maybe they would have been able to beat the Broncos. But last year, when we thought they had loaded up even better, David Johnson a year older, they added Chandler Jones. They kind of crashed back down to earth. And now they're 1-2 and a team that didn't look even very good in its one win. beating Indianapolis in overtime. So Carson Palmer doesn't have a lot of time to throw. Offensive line's not helping him. David Johnson's injury obviously hurting them quite a deal, quite a big deal. But the Cardinals overall don't feel like a very good team to me. And I think they seem and feel and look a lot like a 6-10. And it's time for the Carson Palmer thing to have ended. This offseason, they need to find their next quarterback and restart. Because if this was their window, they ain't winning the Super Bowl this year. And there's no way you're going to squeeze any more blood out of the rock that is Carson Palmer. It's a Trash Tuesday here on the DA Show. So who are you trashing? Hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Justin tweets, Philip freaking Rivers. That's my Trash Tuesday.
Epic trash job.
Another home loss in front of 20-some-odd thousand fans, most of which are the road team fans for San Diego, now L.A. Jason tweets, I've got to trash myself for last week forgetting that Mraz got punched in the face by Mr. Six and not the other way around.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Yeah, that's an important piece of the story to remember. Now, Mraz probably deserved it because he was jawing at the opponent, ran onto the field when he was actually on the sideline, and tried to hook Mr. Six around the waist from behind. An opponent grabbing another team's players from behind, Mr. Six turns around and socks him right in the nose. He deserved every part of it, but Mr. Six punched him. Mraz didn't punch Mr. Six, or else Mraz would no longer be with us, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm a class act here.
I think you would no longer be with us because if you punched Mr. Six first, he would have destroyed you. He would have ripped you limb from limb and then buried your body on that flag football field.
He's reckless. He's absolutely reckless and throws haymakers. I'd be dead.
You would definitely be dead. Gordon's in California, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 970. Gordo, who are you trashing?
You know, I got to trash a certain 1960s washed-up star that appeared on your show, I think it was last week. Mm. Hey, Art, you know what? I understand you're bitter, dude. I get it. You know, the phone doesn't ring too much anymore. The Disturbed guy did a better version of Sound of Silence than you did. And, you know, I think you've got to come to the realization that old Paul carried your hiney for about, 10 years, made it look like you could actually sing. But guess what? The phone finally rings, Art. It finally rings. It's the DA Show. You get to have some spotlight on just you, Art, for once. So you get attention again for the first time in like 30 years. And what do? You come in and you make everybody so mad that Mraz almost squirts the contents of his Chipotle burrito all over the console, dude. I mean, this is not the way to conduct yourself. And just go home, wash that massive Chia Pet hairdo of yours while singing Cuckoo Cachoo, and go back to obscurity. Put this guy on the trash pile. He's acting like a dork. Bye, D.A.
Someone just got trashed.
That was excellent. Gordo is always a great phone call. You know, the Art Garfunkel interview lasts forever, and has it been added to the 12 DAs of Christmas archives?
It actually has not, so I think it needs to be.
I think it needs to be.
Okay, they'll do that right now.
Yeah. Art Garfunkel cursing at me, then hanging up the phone on me, all the while being a very awkward interview as it was. Come on. Slow journalism. Don't you want to be a nice guy? When I was reading interviews, preparing for the interview, reading Q&As with him and background on him, he described himself as a misanthrope. This was 2 years ago, which means he hates all human beings. Should have given me a dead white red flag up in the air. DA, this is not going to go well for you because he hates you, even though he doesn't know you, because he hates all other human beings. Come on, DA. Even though I said you could ask me about Paul Simon, you can't ask me about Paul Simon. Didn't you know that? Come Come on. You can check out the Art Garfunkel interview by going to our iTunes page, DA on CBS, or as well as our webpage at daoncbs.com. We'll get back to your trashes coming up here. Also, wait a second. I'm supposed to believe in the Big 12? We'll get to that as well coming up here next on the Trash Tuesday. Come on, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
I didn't mean to upset you. I apologize about that, Art.
You didn't?
I didn't mean to, no. I didn't mean to upset you.
I'm not upset. I'm very happy. So thank you very much for your time, Dana.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Awkward. Welcome back, DA with you. You can always listen to us on the web stream on your phone. So if you're outside of your normal listening area, or maybe you are... your local affiliate's not carrying us for whatever reason, you can always download the CBS Sports app for free, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. Tosh tweets, DA, awkward, so funny at the end of the Art Garfunkel interview when you said you didn't mean to upset him. Art responds, you didn't? You thought he said you didn't, as in being accusatory, so you continue saying you didn't mean to upset him, and that confusion was the best part of the interview. I don't know. Here's the funny thing about the Art. I want to keep saying the Art Vandalay interview, but the Art Garfunkel interview. It felt like I was caught in an Art Vandalay importer-exporter expo. It was funny because we began the interview, and I introduce him. And the one thing that I like to do, you'll notice when I introduce interview guests, is to really give you their resume to make them feel comfortable and that we value that they're coming on. You know, sometimes I'll go on a radio show and they'll like barely introduce me. Like, I don't even know who this stiff is, but at least he's a warm body to answer some NFL questions. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. But somebody that actually like pumps me up a little bit, hey, he's on NFL Network, he does CBS Sports Radio, he does this and that. I feel like, okay, yeah, now I'm juiced up. So I like to do that to guests because I know how it feels. So I give Art Vandalay Garfunkel this amazing intro, and he comes on and he goes, now I would really like to do the interview with you, Damon, but I can't really hear you, and I would be very interested in doing the interview, but there's a bad phone connection, and I honestly cannot hear you, so maybe we can get a better phone connection. I go, okay, well, let's put you on hold. Mraz jumps on with Art Vandalay Garfunkel, and Mraz tells me in my ear, don't worry, we have Art. The connection's fine. He just can't hear very well.
That's all it was. You get on it. The guy could have been more crystal clear. He's like, all right, we'll tell Damon to speak up then. Speak up? What are you, my grandfather? Over chicken cutlets on a Sunday?
So you'll notice my first question is I'm trying to like be loud, enunciate well, because my grandma became hard of hearing toward the end, and one of my aunts has partial deafness in one ear, so I know how to kind of communicate with people that don't hear very well. But one of the things that you have to do when you're in person with somebody like that is to make sure you're enunciating with your mouth, because they can read lips. It's kind of partial, they'll read some lips. So I'm trying to, you try not to race through words, be very deliberate with your words. So I'm trying to do that. And right off the bat, I ask Art about math and music, because he left Simon and Garfunkel to become a math teacher at the height of their popularity, which is just one of the weirdest stories ever, but this is who Art Vandalay Garfunkel is. And I say, so do you feel like there's math in music? This feels to me like the ultimate door opener for an interview. I am going inside something he's clearly passionate about. He loves math. He's always talked about this in interviews. And it's not, why did you break up Simon and Garfunkel? And there is math in music. Every musician will tell you that. And his response is, I get this question all the time. I don't understand why you think that. All right, so you can't hear me. And now I think my first question is trash. Okay, we're off to a good start. So we kind of do this kind of dance around. I'm trying to be polite. I'm not trying to ask him about Paul Simon. And he's kind of bored by this. Okay, and so I say, I did just want to ask you questions that you haven't gotten before, hoping that, you know, you might open up or something like that. And he goes, if you want to ask me about Paul Simon, I have no problem do that. It would be coy not to. I spent half of my life trying to make you care about
you being the populace. You care about Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, and now I can't not speak about it. So I say, okay, well, this is my opening. He wants to talk about it. So then I ask him, I say, well, you know, I read in an interview a couple of years ago that you said you created a monster with Paul Simon. And that's when it spirals out of control. He curses at me. I'm not interested in talking about that. Come on, that's low journalism. And then it just sets the tone for a terrible rest of the interview. Terrible.
You didn't?
I didn't mean to, no. By the end of it, I'm wrapping up and I go through all of his book tour dates. Every single one of them I hit, hoping that maybe that would warm him up again, because I really didn't want to offend Art Garfunkel.
Gotta get to Barnes & Noble in Seattle.
I didn't wake up on Friday going, like, I can't wait to piss off Art Garfunkel. And by the end, I'm wrapping up and I'm like, good luck with the memoir. Hope all is well with the book tour. And he just hangs up. Click. So Art Garfunkel freaking hung up on this show. And so the whole, it was just a nightmare from the first moment we introduced Art.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when he was getting patched through, I was asked by the people patching him through, hey, make sure Damon has the book name right, because on the previous stop on the tour, on the radio tour, they didn't have the memoir properly named, and Art had a big issue with that. And she said, Art's not going to do any more interviews if they're not getting the book name right. And that's when I got in your ear and I said, you have the book name. And then you even said you typed the wrong thing to me, and we went through this whole back and forth behind the scenes. So I think Art had a rough go of it that hour.
Yeah, I would say so.
Come on.
Come on. Art Garfunkel will always live in infamy here on the DA show. Now, I'm not going to say I don't want him back on the show. I have a problem with Richard Justice and Jack Kay. I think there might be another one I've added to the list. Somebody, the no-fly zone around here.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I feel like the other one is like the worst of the ones, too, and now I can't remember.
But Jack Kay, and I would even probably have Jack Kay on if she was willing to apologize for coming after me with her army of fans. But Richard Justice is off the list. And Bilotti is wondering why Richard Justice is off the list.
Oh, Jack Kay.
Oh, why is Jack
Kay? I have no idea what that's all about.
When we were doing overnights, I said something like, I don't know why I was talking about Jack Kay, but I said Jack Kay is a C-list celebrity. And Jack Kay's official fan club accosted me on Twitter. Just came out of the woodwork, and she is an official fan club. How dare you say that about Jack Kay? She's way more successful than you'll ever hope to be. She's not a C-list actress. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I had one person say, you wish you could be a C-list actress. And I said, exactly. I wish I had Jack Kay's career. If I could body swap right now like Freaky Friday into Jack Kay's body circa 1987, I'm all in. I'm on Amen. I'm hitting up 227. And then I get to be the mom and sister. Yes. Every day of the week. Yes. Oh my God. Absolutely. Get me to sassy Jack Kay circa 1987. I'm all in. So this is not a crack on that I wouldn't want to be her. This is a crack on, she's not an A-list celebrity. She's like, not even a B-list celebrity. She's like a C-list celebrity, and that's okay. I'm a Z-list celebrity. So we try to have her on the show to mend fences, and Jack Kay and Jack Kay's people said, no, I'm too busy. And I'm like, come on, Jack Kay can't be too busy. It's 2014. There's no way Jack Kay's too busy to do an 8-minute interview. No chance. What's she got going on right now? She just collecting those checks from the reruns of Sister. And
I believe at the time she was in the process of starting her own talk show that, as we could tell here in 2017, never took off.
Well, there's no place like home.
Ooh, maybe. And no place, child. Da-na-na-na. I love 227. So sassy. Anyway, on to the Big 12 in about 30 seconds. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State were supposed to be two of the best four teams in America. It was supposed to be Alabama, Clemson, and then Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And why? Because Oklahoma went to Ohio State and won. Great win. And Oklahoma State has Mason Rudolph and all of this offense, and that they are ready to take that next leap. And I said, I'm supposed to believe in the Big 12 knowing the very essence of the Big 12 is no defense. No defense, no defense, no defense, no defense, no defense. No, 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 but these teams are different. Look what Oklahoma just did. And I said, yes, Oklahoma did go to the horseshoe and win impressively, and we've got to give them credit. But Oklahoma State, I think they're frauds. Oh, how could you say that? They're finally ready to make the next step. It's going to come down to Bedlam, and that is going to be who's getting to the college football playoff. Now the Big 12 has a championship game as well. I said, I'm not buying. I'm not buying. And what happened on Saturday? It wasn't just that Oklahoma State lost. It was that Oklahoma State gave up nearly 100 points. And so did Oklahoma to a terrible Baylor team. Between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, they gave up nearly 100 points of offense. It might be boring to watch Alabama win all the time. It might be boring to have Clemson in the college football playoff for the third straight year. One thing I know about those two teams, they're balanced. They play defense. They can stop somebody. And Oklahoma lets Baylor put up points in the 40s, and Oklahoma State loses to TCU at home in Stillwater, lets them put up points in the 40s. Don't sell me. I got to believe in the Big 12 until the Big 12 actually does something. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail, plus more trashes. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
No place like home.
I mean, no place, child.
Oh, so good. Well done by the Body Bilotti. Love 227. Love Jack Hay. Would love to switch places with her career in a heartbeat. It's too bad that she hates the list. She hates the show, rather, hates me, and refuses to come on the show. So she very perceptive of our listeners to note the other person who is banned from the show, and that would be, both Dan and Jason pointed out, Joey Chestnut. So there is now three banned people from the show: Richard Justice, MLB.com, Jack Hay, and Joey Chestnut.
It's a big three. We need a fourth for a Mount Rushmore. But Art Garfunkel the fourth.
I'm not going to ban Art. No, I'm not going to ban Art. I don't think that's fair. I was entertained by Art. to say the least. All right, it's a Trash Tuesday, so you could hit us up via the trashings on Twitter or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. A couple more tweets coming in. Maestro Mike tweets, how about getting, there's a series of these. I know it might be my fandom as bias, but I swear the Lions get the worst end of the rule book at every chance. I am trashing the NFL rule book. We were penalized by the NFL's own rule to review touchdowns by some other obscure rule, SMH. I still get upset when they made that rule up that went against Calvin Johnson with a touchdown catch. They also made up some other rule about needing to retain possession of the ball even after you get off the ground. Seriously? Trash the rule book, yo. That's who I'm trashing on a Trash Tuesday.
Trashing is fun.
It is fairly amazing when you look at this, because if the NFL officials had put Golden Tate down at the one instead of a touchdown, it's probably reviewed anyway by the booth. It might be an automatic review, even though it's really the review would usually happen upon a scoring play in this instance, but inside 2 minutes, it's a booth review. So he's down to the one. It looks close. They'll stop to see if he's in. And that screws the Lions because it runs off 10 seconds. But if he's down to the two instead of down at the one, and it's obvious he is not in the end zone, then there is no review, and the Lions only have to move up 6 or 7 yards, really even less, 5 yards, to get the offensive linemen down and set, and Matthew Stafford can either take the snap and throw a fade or maybe hand off or run it himself. Because they were down at the one instead of the two, they've got to get it reviewed, and then they lose the 10-second runoff, and the game is over. Sucks! It's like the Lions were penalized for being better than if they would have just been down to the two instead. John tweets, I was once shunned by Ringo Starr, but that's nothing compared to your disastrous interview with Art Garfunkel.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
Yeah, it was a disaster, that's for sure. Shane tweets, if Art doesn't think there is math in music, I wonder if he doesn't understand math or is clueless about music. Or maybe both.
Someone just got trashed.
Chad tweets, I'm trashing people who don't know how to use their turn signal when driving. It wouldn't be installed if you weren't supposed to use it.
Epic trash job.
I got to be honest. I think I'm turning into the old guy. Because just the other day, I had my blinker on for like 3 blocks. I forgot that it was on.
Nice move, Dad.
I know. Then I looked down, I'm like, oh, God, I'm the old guy. This is bad. Bad. Steven the Buckeye tweets, I'm trashing Hugh Jackson of the Cleveland Browns.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
How do you lose going to Indianapolis against Jacoby Brissett? Josh tweets, I want to trash my old boss. I got a new job. She's spreading lies in town. I hope she trips and falls into traffic. I also want to trash my wife. She took my car all day yesterday and left me with 14 miles till empty. Hashtag Trash Tuesday. Hashtag beam me up. Hashtag why me.
Hot trash.
Come on. I only got 14 miles left in this tank. Gunner tweeting, I'm trashing the ref who threw the flag for offensive PI on the Niners near the end of the game. Horrible call.
Someone just got trashed.
Senor Pantleg tweets, what's wrong with wearing jerseys of players younger than you? Signed 50-year-old Little League World Series superfans.
Epic trash job.
Exactly. Exactly.
A giant pile of trash.
So much trash. Daniel tweets, first I'm trashing Wendy's for forgetting my small fry with my Frosty yesterday. Hashtag I'm a fat lard. Daniel also writes, I'm going to trash Walmart for already being out with the damn Christmas decorations, but it's not even October yet. Is that right?
You've been trashed.
My God, end of September already doing Christmas decorations? It's a bad situation. All right, time now for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Addison Russell did a pretty cool thing last night. You probably saw this looking at some videos that popped up viral last night. That is Addison Russell, the Chicago Cubs, goes into the stands to catch a foul ball. He barrels into a fan in St. Louis, knocked over the fan's nachos. Addison Russell actually brought more nachos over to that fan. Now, I have never seen an opposing fan bring out a new beer or new nachos for another fan after barreling into him. So I'm pretty sure this is the first in Major League Baseball history. And, you know, if you go to a baseball game, buy nachos, get barreled into by a professional baseball player, your video goes viral, and then you get the nachos replaced, you basically had the best night ever at that game.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
So that's double nachos. Whatever you ate from the first nachos, you're now getting a whole new tray. So that's, if you were smart, you eat all those nachos up until that foul ball. As the foul ball's coming, you just shove your face full of nachos and cheese. And then when it drops in front of your lap and you get the new ones, you know that you've basically gotten two trays of nachos. That's the way you got to play that. The Patriots are getting some major heat because of major heat. It was a hot spell over the course of the Northeast over the weekend. Temperatures in the 90s in New York and the upper 80s in New England. And for the Patriots game at 1 o'clock, temperatures were so hot they ran out of bottled water. And so the Patriots at Gillette Stadium started charging fans for tap water. They got cups. They poured tap water in there, and they charged the same price as bottled water, $4.50. What a crime against humanity. Have you ever drank tap water at a stadium? It's grotesque. You know where those pipes have been. You know how old those pipes are. It's coming through old sinks and stuff. Ugh. Tap water at stadiums is heinous. Like, just let all the ice in your soda melt. And then after your soda's done, just drink that ice water. Oh, it's just the worst. So imagine paying $4.50 for tap water. The Patriots have apologized, saying that should have never happened. But how did you let that happen in the first place? If you run out of bottled water, tap water should be free.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. We had Mark Schlereth join us here on the show earlier. Schlereth, a.k.a. Stink, is a three-time Super Bowl champion offensive lineman and is now an expert tailgater slash homegater. It sounds like he is a big cook and a big football food fan. So he says you need to put a pork tenderloin in the crock pot to make pulled pork, which sounds delicious. Mraz, though, is he favors a get yourself a pork shoulder, and that led to this.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
To hear a man after your own blood talk about getting a pork tenderloin thrown into that crock pot and making what he considers his football food of the week.
It just justifies all the work I've put into the up the gut for the last 5 years. I'm such a crap producer, you know that? Because I have, and you have as well, preached the use of the crock pot in all shapes, ways, and you heard him with desserts, foods, and to put the pork in there. I would say get yourself a pork shoulder. Get yourself a pork shoulder. He says get yourself a pork tenderloin. Either way it works, and that is delicious, good eating right there.
Pork
shoulder, starving here now.
What?
I had so much cash built up.
Why do you love the pork shoulder so much?
I find the meat to shred off the shoulder a little more gently, and I think a little more juicy as well, as opposed to, you know, pork shedding off the tenderloin, if you will.
I just want to be drowning in a Victor Cruz touchdown with pulled pork all over my face.
If a tenderloin can shed?
Well, with the pork shoulder, the bone is still involved.
Yeah, so you get the juices that come off. I guess they would call that the marrow, if you will.
I think the marrow is inside the bone.
Regardless, it's in there when it heats, and the way the meat falls, and you can slice it off the bone if it's been in that crock pot all day.
You like it on the bone. A tenderloin's got no bone in it, right?
Right, the bone has been displaced. I prefer a bone. Schlereth prefers no bone. Me bone, Schlereth no bone.
Uh-huh.
Go stuff yourselves!
That's the way we like our pork, but that's okay, because in the end, we both get to enjoy barbecue sauce, whether there's bone involved or no bone involved.
Gotta have thick meat.
The bone has been displaced.
The bone has been displaced.
The fact that Mraz is talking to me about displacing a bone with a crock pot and a tenderloin makes me feel like it's going to be a good morning.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
For our next trick, we're going to do an entire episode based on our favorite cheeses. More trashings coming through on the old Twitter machine.
What's cheese?
Michael tweets, I'm trashing the NFL for not going over the rule book in the offseason and changing some of the stupid ones. They still don't know what a catch is.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
Was that Sterling Shepard on Sunday that caught the pass, corner of the end zone, took three steps with possession, fell out of the end zone, but then when the ball popped out after he hit the ground, was called no touchdown?
Right. Because apparently you have to complete the process of a catch 6 steps after you catch it.
So you got to get 3 feet in down, 3 feet in play, down or more, and have possession of the ball. And when you hit the ground, also not lose possession.
Right. But all you need is that little nose to break the plane in the end zone when you're running in.
Tyler tweets, I want to trash the people who go really fast in grocery store parking lots thinking that they are cool.
Epic trash job.
Totally lame. That is the lamest thing ever. The people that come through the grocery store parking lot zooming, I mean, just cooking and blasting music. Come on. You're in the Piggly Wiggly grocery store parking lot, okay? You cannot be cool here. You have sacrificed your cool. Sorry. Not, you can't get that back. All right, that will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and James Graceffo handling your Watch DA digital broadcast producing duties today. We're back at it tomorrow for Humpity Hump Day. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA and the Mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.